So, Rob, the room is now full of magazine people, and that excludes me. So I'm going to introduce Hal Bryan, who is EAA's Managing Editor for Print and Digital Content and Publications, and also the star of the Hal Bryan Show, which is on earlier in the morning in our schedule. So we're going to do nothing funny for the next 12 minutes.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rule was nothing.
We are only going to restrict the bacon content of the show.
No bacon words, no actual bacon.
No.
None of that, Hal. And you came anyway, so thank you.
I was invited. But I appreciate being asked. It's always nice to catch up with you guys. Well,
you know, you mentioned before we got on the air about the team that you lead here at EAA. Can you tell us, because I'll bet a lot of people don't know.
It's print and it's digital content, right? Which means that you have a bunch of people who are good at a lot of things.
Absolutely. And I got to be honest, I hesitate to use the term lead. I mean, EAA took pity on me and let me claw my way up to middle management, but I think of it, I'm just privileged to be part of a team that gets to work on everything from
run down the list of outputs for us.
Sure, just about anything we publish, social media, our blog, any of the editorial side of the website, the marketing side is kind of adjacent to us. And of course, print publications, Sport Aviation Magazine, first and foremost. The division publications for Warbirds and IAC and Vintage are also adjacent, and I will occasionally contribute features to a couple of those. But really, it's a solid group. And I couldn't be luckier to be where I am, to be involved with people that know how to tell a good story and all work together. Whether that's, we've got the people I work with most immediately, we've got photographers and video people right alongside us, as well as terrific writers, wonderful editors who can take, I swear, we have editors that you could take a piece of paper, copy and paste the word "the" 500 times, and they would tweak it and hand you back a magazine feature. It is amazing.
How many people are on that in that group?
So specifically on the publications team, I've got there's six of us that work very closely together, and then right now we have an intern, and then we of course report to our VP, is Jim Busha, who's the editor in chief of the magazine and of the other publications as well. Of course, he reports to Jack. So there's us, and then photo and video, as I said, is sort of adjacent to us, and they support our storytelling, they support our marketing department, and we've got four full-time people there, about a half a dozen in marketing. All of us work hand in hand.
I remember roughly about the time you started working for EAA, and there was a lot of buzz about, because I was volunteering, I was a new volunteer at about the same time, and there was a lot of buzz about this guy who's coming to work for us. Did you know he helped invent develop Microsoft Flight Simulator? Because, when I was young as an aviation enthusiast, that was kind of my gateway drug.
Sure. Well, and that product was for me, too. It's definitely a gigantic stretch. You said there wouldn't be anything funny. Invent is about a million miles away. But that was a job that I enjoyed quite a bit and was another terrific team to work with. But I started using Microsoft Flight Simulator as a kid. I grew up in an aviation family and surrounded by all of that, but started using that when I was about 12.
Yeah.
And then right about the time I turned 30, I went to work at Microsoft. I'd been working at Microsoft, but I switched over to that flight simulator team. I spent about 11 years doing that. And that was a real privilege. A lot of great people. But you know what? That was the springboard to get me to where I've belonged all along. I'm convinced now, and that's right here at EAA.
Well, so you said that you worked at, what did you do on the flight simulator team? I mean,
so when I started, I was in test engineering, and some people would describe that would describe that as complaining for a living, sort of sitting down and saying, well, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong, and then from there moved into more of a business development and community management role. Still did a little bit of the engineering stuff on the side, and Just absolutely had a great time, but it's one of the most gratifying things, of course, was and is to hear from people say, oh, I used Microsoft Flight Simulator as a kid. It really helped me out. It really got me into aviation. And, of course, now we're thrilled at EA to see that product back. And, you know, we've been working. Yeah, it sure is. We've been working toward a partnership with Microsoft. And there's a discount available for EA employees and some things like that that are happening. So.
Wow, what's this partnership with Microsoft? What can you tell us?
Well, right now it's been sort of early stages. They weren't able to have a full-blown formal booth presence this year. It was timing and logistics and things. But we hope obviously that continues. But they've stepped up and they're providing free licenses of the new version to all of our scholarship recipients every year. Which is fantastic. That's something like, what do we do? We do, through the Ray Scholar Program, we do 100 to 120 scholarships every year, and those are $10,000 flight training scholarships, and they get flight simulators as part of that. There is the member discount, and, you know, we keep sort of figuring out other ways we can connect and work together.
Well, have you seen the flight sim version of arrivals at Oshkosh that the pilot proficiency center is involved in?
Absolutely.
Oh, actually, and all actual really good Oshkosh controllers.
Right. Yeah, the Sim Venture project. Yeah, we're very aware of that. And they
notice how I was fudging on the fact that I couldn't remember the exact name, but that's okay.
Yes. You walk the tightrope like a pro. You know that, Rob.
You know, it is interesting, though, because I didn't have a chance to try it this year because I was getting ready to come up here, but that's an opportunity that never would have existed if it hadn't been for you guys at Seattle.
There you go. Sure, yeah, Redmond, Seattle.
Redmond, yeah. Washington, out by the other side of the water. You know, leading the way years ago, and then of course Microsoft took a hiatus, and now it's been picked up again. And I can't imagine there'll be other good things coming from the the Sim Venture world. I mean, maybe we'll do fly with somebody that's doing the aerobatic routine or something. Or
yeah, the possibilities are effectively limitless. And you know, we would participate in sort of virtual Oshkosh events back in the Microsoft days as well, but it's amazing to see. You know, we might do something sort of a little bit simpler and just kind of basic to get a bunch of people in the air in a multiplayer session coming into Oshkosh. But it's really cool to see what SimVenture has done, and as you said, bringing in real controllers, it makes it a very, very immersive experience. So if somebody wants a taste of what that's like, that's a great way to do it.
When your name comes up on social media, it's often associated with vintage aircraft.
Absolutely.
What's your background there?
So, I guess in the aviation world, vintage aircraft has always been a first love. I grew up on a wonderful little private airstrip southeast of Seattle with a 1944 Cessna T-50 in the backyard, the bamboo bomber, Sky King, out of the clear blue of the western skies. And I think that really cemented it for me. There's always a lot of antiques around and things. And over the years since then, I've been very, very lucky, both somewhat of my time at Microsoft and certainly my time at EA, and in getting to know wonderful people and having the opportunity to fly some great old airplanes. If you were to hold a gun to my head, figuratively speaking, of course, just back off there, and say I could only fly one airplane for the rest of my life, though, that would be a de Havilland Tiger Moth. I've got about 50 hours in the type. I'm quietly shopping for one right now. So, in particular, a C model, if anybody knows of one out there. There's just something about the wind and the wires and the, you know, the world framed by a pair of biplane wings. There is absolutely nothing like it. It's the most, it's the calmest and most focused and most present I think you will ever find me.
Well, so you said you grew up in an aviation family.
Yeah.
What, your dad flew, your mom flew?
So my parents met when they worked for United Airlines, and dad flew from DC-3s to 747s. So he had that never-to-be-repeated airline career. Mom was, and she was proud of the term. It's not as politically correct anymore, but she called herself a stewardess. But speaking of politically incorrect, of course, the moment they got married, she had to quit because it was just against company policy to be married. And of course, there were, you know, specific height and weight restrictions and other, you know, delightful pieces of sort of mid-century barbarism that seemed sort of normal at the time. But she loved her time at United. She stayed active in sort of alumni groups and USO and all kinds of things like that.
Wow. What a great way to grow up. And your dad had a bamboo bomber?
Yeah, the bamboo bomber. We bought that when I was about 4 years old and lived in California briefly. Then we moved up to the airstrip property outside Seattle. And that
so you
was,
were flying by the time you were five?
Yeah, sitting on phone books just so I could be tall enough to see the attitude indicator. Even with phone books, I couldn't see over the panel, so I was there flying on instruments.
Do you realize how few people even know what a phone book is right now? I mean,
here we are. I'm talking about vintage airplanes, but I'm tossing out references like phone books.
Exactly.
You know, I got a telegram the other day. It was it was really quite something.
Unbelievable.
Oh, goodness. Hal Bryan, endless fun talking with Hal Bryan, which is good because you can hear him every day on the morning show on EA Radio.
And we did it without bacon.
I can't quite accept that.
All we can do is apologize and to say you're listening to EAA Radio.